All right. Thank you, Steve. All right, well, I'm back. Start off with a quick question for you guys. So how many people like eating food? Like the fact that you can eat food and that you have food in your house to eat? Okay, well, so there's some people that don't like having food in their house to eat. All right. How many people like going to the grocery store to get that food? A couple. Okay, remember who those people are if you ever need anyone to run out for you. Not many, though. A lot less. We have a tendency, I think, to not like to go do certain things, right? A lot of times we like what that will get for us, like food from a grocery store, things like that. But the act of having to go and do that, sometimes we don't really like. One example, my family and I were hanging out earlier this week, and this has come up on several occasions, which is probably why I look the way I do, but we were talking about ice cream. And there's a Dairy Queen near our house, unfortunately. And so we're talking about it, and I think it was my daughter. It's usually my daughter who brings it up, but I go right along with it. And so we're like, yeah, you know what? We could all go for some ice cream. And so then obviously the kids can't go get the ice cream because our kids aren't old enough to do that. That's usually the first joke is you can walk and go get it, and then that never happens. So then it's kind of my wife and I looking at each other like, okay, is either one of us really going to do this? Are we actually going to go get the ice cream that we all want? And it goes back and forth for a while, and it does honestly take a while because there's always this like back and forth of, well, no, it's your turn. And then I'm really good at what I do now. When I come home most of the time and I know I'm done for the day, no matter what time it is, if it's 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock, doesn't matter, I change into my jammy pants and have my t-shirt, so I'm just all, you know, comfortable and everything. So that's always my excuse is, well, look at me, I can't go out like this. And what she says back to me is, you can just go through the drive-thru and it doesn't matter what you're wearing. So that doesn't work anymore, all right? So sometimes we get the ice cream and sometimes we don't. And I will say, I'll be honest, props to my wife, she's usually the one that often gets it. I do sometimes, but she usually caves earlier than I do. So anyways, in those situations, we want that ice cream, and I realize ice cream's not a big deal. But we don't want to do the act of going, right? And why don't we want to do that? Because, well, it's a lot more comfortable just to sit at home on the couch and chill out, and you're comfortable. You don't want to get out and deal with the rain or the cold or have to do all that, and you just want to hang out, right? It's easier. And sometimes in life, that's kind of how we act about other things that are maybe a little bit more important. So sometimes I think as Christians, we do want people's lives to change, right? I don't think there's anyone in here who has a relationship with God through Jesus Christ who doesn't want people's lives to change. We all want that. But the question is, are we willing to go? Right? Because we're commanded, our call for each and every one of us is to go. And so the question for us is, sometimes maybe things get in the way of that. We like the idea, we like the concept of lives being changed, but we don't necessarily always want to go. Sometimes we might think, well, it's easier just to have them come to us. Right? And there's nothing wrong with inviting people to church. That's a good thing. Keep doing that. But I would suggest that when we do that and people respond, most times people respond because someone's already gone to them and stepped into their life and loved them, and now they come. But it starts with going. Starts with going. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is this idea of kind of going. So let me just pray for us, and then we'll get into our first text. Father, I just come before you again, and I just thank you for the opportunity just to come and just share your word. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would speak through me, Father, that it would be your words. I pray that everyone would just recall what it is that you're speaking to them, Father, that we'd all open up our hearts and minds just to hear whatever it is that you might want to say to each and every one of us, and that we might walk away from here just a little bit changed. I just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're all called to go. So if we look at Matthew 28, 19 to 20, which many of you have heard before, the Great Commission, right? It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, for today, we're just going to literally focus on that idea of going. That's it. That's all we're going to focus on. Very simple today. Simple in understanding, maybe not so much in living out, all right? Because this is what I find, is I find sometimes the biggest obstacle for us is just deciding to go. Just that decision of, okay, yeah, you know what, I get it, I am called to go. And deciding to actually do that. I think sometimes that's kind of the first obstacle that we have to get through. And this idea of going, God has given us a perfect example in Christ. Perfect example. It's the only perfect example. There's plenty of examples throughout Scripture. Christ coming is the perfect example. Right? Because we understand Christ came to us. Right? And I don't know if, like, I think sometimes, especially if you're growing up in the church, we kind of like, I don't know, we just get used to certain things. And we don't think about, like, just how awesome certain things are. Because we just get used to it. We're like, yeah, Jesus came to earth. That's cool. Like, you know, we just kind of get used to it. But again, we talk about Jesus coming to earth, we're talking about the God of this universe, right? The God of this universe, the perfect God of this universe, right? And he had it perfect. He did. He was in heaven with the Father, could not face any harm, perfect place, joy, peace, in perfect place. He chose to come to us, chose to go and give that up. Put himself in harm's way, knowing actually that he would face that harm. What an amazing example of going. The incarnation of Jesus, right? In John 1:1-3, and you can read through that whole chapter. I just broke it up a little smaller so it's easier for us. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And every time I say the Word, that's Jesus, just so people understand. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So in other words, in the beginning was Jesus. Jesus was in the beginning. Jesus was with God. Jesus was God. Jesus is God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Right? The eternal God of this universe is what we're talking about. And because oftentimes with Jesus, we kind of think of more of his kind of earthly, his time here on earth, right? And him being human, and we kind of forget about kind of the God side of it, that he's completely God. But then what does it say? It says, the Word, meaning Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He put himself in harm's way. And it's not even, yes, obviously that leads to the cross and that's awesome. But even before that, it's awesome before that. The fact that he was just willing to come. I don't know, and for me, it still boggles my mind when I start to think about that. The God is yours, because I don't know about you, I'm far from perfection by a long shot, right? And the God is yours decides to come and put himself in harm's way, removes himself from that perfect place for us. The thing we need to understand is, although we're not obviously called to be Christ, we are called to be like him. And what an amazing example for us. That hopefully motivates us to go. And so as I was doing this, as a parent, I was thinking about, well, what sometimes maybe gets in the way of us going? So I thought of a few things, not an exhaustive list or anything like that, but the first thing I thought of is it's easier not to. And these are the things we're probably not going to say out loud, right? But sometimes, you know, well, hey, you know what? Life is pretty good. I have a roof over my head, paying my bills, get along okay with my neighbors, things are going okay at school, things like that. Life's okay. I don't know if I want to mess that up. Man, if I intentionally start going and kind of doing something, am I going to kind of shuffle things around where I kind of won't be in the in crowd in the neighborhood anymore? Right? Am I going to kind of mess things up? Things are good right now. I don't want to mess up life. It just seems like it might be a little messy. It might be a little inconvenient. Now, again, none of us are ever going to say that out loud. Sometimes in our actions, is that kind of maybe what's going on? Next, I've heard this, and I'm sure you've said it or heard it yourself, I'm not ready, right? I'm not ready to go. Yeah, I believe in God. I have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, but I'm just not ready. I'm not really ready to go. there's never, if you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you are ready. There's nowhere in Scripture where it ever says that you're not ready. Nowhere. Once you have that relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you have your story. You have your story, and you have the Holy Spirit, and that's enough. There's no enough. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And here's the deal, is if you go and you share your story, and there's questions you don't know the answer to, that's okay. We don't all have the answers, and guess what? You never are. Doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter if you're Pastor Derek or whoever, any elders, it doesn't matter. You're never going to have all the answers. It's one of the things that's funny, when I went and got my MDiv, it's funny because you think you like learn more knowledge and you feel more confident in what you know as you do that. The opposite happened to me. As I went and got my MDiv and started to really study Scripture, I realized how much I don't know. Okay? So this is the thing, is we're never going to be perfectly prepared in the sense of having everything we need to have to answer every question. But all you need is your story. And then relying on God. We'll get into that a little bit after. Sometimes we feel like we're not ready. Third, I'm scared. And by this I mean more than just inconvenience. I'm talking about we kind of live in a crazy world now, right? It's getting a little sketchy out there, right? And so the question is, if I'm going to go, could I be harmed, right? Is something going to happen to me? Could I lose my life? Could my kids get hurt? That's where I struggle sometimes, right? It's not more about me. Yes, I care what happens to me, but not really. I mean, it's more about I worry about what's going to happen to my kids or stuff like that, right? That's where it gets into it. But we worry, hey, could something happen to me? And some of these I get, and some are harder than others. But we need to understand that we're talking about the eternal life of those around us, right? Sometimes we just need to step back and see the big picture, because we're talking about the eternal life of those around us, right? Because we have to understand that everyone around us is going to either be in a place where they're completely separated from God in punishment and suffering, or they're going to be in a place where they are in the complete presence of God with joy and peace. Like, when we step back, big picture, that's what it's about. And so in those situations where maybe we feel some things, we got to maybe kind of see it through that lens. And I'm very much speaking to myself as well. It's funny, when you prepare a message, you get convicted a lot yourself too. So it's actually one of the best things that you can ever do is teach, because it ends up convicting you a lot. But that's the reality, right? We have to step back and see that big picture. And maybe if we understand what's at stake, it's going to help us to go. Matthew 5, 14 through 16 says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." We're called to be light. Right? When we talk about this act of going, I'll get into this in a minute, but there's more intentionality. We're called to be light. And this is the thing, is in this passage, the idea is, if you have a light, there's no point in not using the light, right? Like, that's what it's made for. We have to understand that one of our greatest purposes, each and every one of us, is to go and be light. Right? Once, as we move into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, yes, there's a process in our life that we call sanctification, of becoming more of what God's calling us to be, and that's all great. But the reality is it's done. Once we move into a relationship with Christ, it's done. Christ has done it for us. And so one of our main purposes while we're here on earth is to go and be light. Again, if you just break it down to a big picture. So again, the act of going, it's more than just being present. It's more than just being out there. It's about letting our light shine. Right? So we need to be intentional. We need to be intentional. Now, that can happen, I think, a couple different ways. First is understanding that we need to all respond to God's general call. And what I mean by that is there's certain things in Scripture that's like, hey, all of us are supposed to do these things. Then there's certain things in our lives where we get specific calls specifically from God that's for us. Because this is the deal. Sometimes you talk about these things, like talking about going out and being light and impacting people's lives, and people will be like, well, that's not really my gift. That's not really my thing. Okay? Maybe evangelism or whatever is not your gift. That's fine. But guess what? You're still called to go and be light. Each and every believer is called to go and be light. That's clear throughout Scripture. We're called to be light. We're called to be salt. We can go through a million examples in Scripture. We're called to go and be light. There is a general call for each and every one of us to go and do that, to be that light for others. And so we want to be intentional in responding to that call. One thing that I would suggest is think about each day that you wake up, just taking some time and talking to God about your day. Now, you may already do that and do some other things, but what I'm going to encourage you to do as part of that is to say to God in that morning, say, hey, God, you know what? I pray, Father, that I, as I go today out into this world, whether it be work or school or the store or whatever, gym, whatever, I pray that you would help me to be light. Help me to be willing to be used by you in each and every situation that I walk into today. Ask him to do that. Ask him to open up your heart and mind to see what he wants to show you where you can be that light in people's lives. This is the things I can promise you that if you do that, there's a couple things that are going to happen. You're going to be more in tune and more aware of the people around you. Because sometimes when we get busy with life, if we're honest, we kind of put on blinders. And we all do it. It's not intentional. We just get really busy and just kind of lose focus. What I'm saying is that if each and every morning we are intentional to say to God, God, use me today. Help me to see people around me that are hurting, that need this light. What's going to happen is we're going to see it because we're going to be more aware. The other thing is we're going to hear God more clearly because we've already connected. We've already started that connection. And then throughout our day, we keep that connection going where we can hear him laying on our heart like, hey, you know what? That person that's over that table that looks really depressed and sad right now that's just sitting there, go talk to that person. Now, God can do that in any situation. I'm just saying if we prepare ourselves ahead of time, we're going to be more sensitive to hearing what God has to say in those situations. Now, the second piece of this is talking to God about his specific call. So this is just, hey, God, is there a specific group of people, a specific neighborhood, whatever it is, that you want me to intentionally be light to? Right? And that may or may not happen. And that's more of a personal thing between you and God and kind of really sensing that in the spirit. So as an example, so for me right now, I work with the youth here in the church. Right? So that's a very specific group of people that I try to feed into, okay? Now, the other thing that's important to understand, though, is so as we do this, we've got to have this conversation with God, we've got to be willing to listen, right? And then secondly, by the way, once you get this specific call, it doesn't suddenly get you off the hook for everyone else, right? So it's not like, well, I have this specific call to work with youth, so you know what? All you adults, I could care less about you. You know, just whatever happens in your life, it is what it is, right? It doesn't work that way. Yes, I have a specific call, so I spend time during the week planning for what we're going to do for youth stuff and all those kinds of things, and it's very intentional. But that doesn't mean when I go to the gym or I go to the store or wherever I go, that doesn't mean I'm not still called to be light in those situations. I am. The other thing that's really, really important when we go is that God is at the center of all this, that it's spirit-led. We're not called to do this in our own power, our own wisdom. This is very, very, very important because it can be dangerous if we start to try to do this ourselves. And I've seen it, some of you maybe have too, where it becomes about us. And when it becomes about us, it goes downhill real quick. Right, I've literally seen it. I've seen it look really ugly where, you know, it's kind of like the stereotypical sales job where you're out there, okay, how many souls can I get today? right? And it's like you're tacking it up. Like, I got 10 today, you know, that kind of thing. And like, as far as I'm concerned, that's going to hurt the kingdom. Now, God can do whatever he wants. God can work through that. So you can do whatever he wants. In general, though, that's going to hurt the family of God. We got to understand that this all happens through him. Through him. We need to look to God for that direction, for that wisdom, for that strength. The things that we talked about earlier in terms of being worried, do I know enough, whatever, rely on him. Because here's the deal, is God's the one that's doing the work. We're just an instrument. So rely on him. James 1, 5 through 6a, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. If any of you lacks wisdom, right? So we talked earlier, sometimes we feel like we just don't know enough. Seek wisdom from God. And I would suggest, too, if you start to get into some of these God conversations, be talking to God kind of in the background. Right, God, what do you want me to say next? Like, you don't say that out loud, obviously, right? But talk to God about those things. Let him lead and direct in that conversation. Second Timothy 4:17 says, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So the Lord gave him strength so that he could go and be light, so that he can impact people's lives. And that's exactly what we're talking about. God will give you the strength, the power, the wisdom that you need to go if you rely on him. If you rely on him. In many ways, it's kind of like if I had a hammer, right, and it was just laying on a table, that hammer is pretty useless, right? Not damaged, can't really do a whole lot just sitting on the table by itself. I can't like tell the hammer to go do something and it does it. Doesn't work that way, right? That hammer only becomes useful in some way when I pick it up and I do something with it, right? And the power is generated from me, not from the hammer. In many ways, we're called to be that hammer in God's hands. We're being used by him. But he's leading, he's directing, he's giving strength, he's giving power. And here's what's great about this is if we really walk into this with that type of thinking, what happens is there's actually a little bit more peace, less anxiety, because we're basically saying, God, it's up to you. It's not on us anymore. It's not on our shoulders. Right? We're being obedient to go. The actual changing of lives, we don't do. God does. And so we rely on him. The other thing that's important about the Spirit-led part is that we want to get to a place where we're doing this out of an overflow. And this is something I talk about a lot, is ultimately, in terms of being what God has called us to be, it really, ultimately, we want to get to a place where it all comes from an overflow. That as we connect with him and as we grow in our relationship with him, when we get to know him better, we kind of naturally become more of what he's calling us to be because we have so much of him in us that we can't help but do that. That's the ideal. Now, I'm not saying God can't work in times where maybe we're feeling a little drier in our walk or whatever. God certainly can do that. But in general, we want to get ourselves to a place where it's just overflowing. Right, so like this glass of water that's up here, right? You're just pouring, and it's already filled up. And once it's filled up, it can't go anywhere but out. It just, that's all it can do, is go out of us. Like, I don't know if you've ever known someone like that, right? I've known some people that just like, they just like overflow with God, right? They're just like, and I'm not talking they have to be like out, like, you know, talking to people and stuff like that. Just, there's something in them that it just, they can't help but talk about God. They can't help but be that light. Anywhere they go, anything they do, it's just, it bubbles up out of them. I know when I look at those people, I'm like, man, that's amazing. I want that. Because that's really, that's where it should be. It should bubble up out of us. That happens by relying on Him, connecting with Him, and then it overflows so that we can impact other people's lives. So it's a little bit of an example of this kind of Spirit-led portion here. We're going to look at Acts 8, 24 through 39. This passage is a little long. We'll kind of break it up a little bit, but it says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet." So we'll stop and we'll continue to read. But so first, obviously, the angel of the Lord said to him, go. Told him to go. All right, but notice what I love about this too is he didn't give him like the full instructions, right? He didn't say like, go, and this is like the steps. These are the 10 steps you're going to do today. He didn't give it all to him. He just said, go to this road, right? Just go do this thing. He's like, okay, right? And he was obedient to that. He was sensitive to what God was saying. He was open to hearing that, and he received that call to go. And so he went. Read on. It says, "The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to the chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I,' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.'" By the way, that's one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It's a weird one to be favorite, I know. You probably don't hear it very often. But it's one of my favorites because it's kind of, for me, it's kind of like one of those like dumb moments. Like when we talk about going out and talking to people about Christ, like, well, how can I know unless like you, another one that talks about this as well. But this idea of like, well, I need someone to explain it to me. Like I need someone to talk to me about this, right? It's just like, well, okay, it seems obvious to them. So how can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. Talk about that. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. This is an awesome passage of Scripture, right? And there's so much in here we can't really talk about, but in terms of what we're talking about today is, again, Philip was obedient to go. And that's all that started. The first decision, all he had to make was, okay, God's telling me to go, I'm going to go. And he was ready to be used by God. And God used him. And a life was changed. A life was eternally changed because he went. It was willing to be used by God. So the question for us is, are we being obedient to that call? Are we going? In all the things that we do, each and every part of our day, are we going? And I know we're not all doing that perfectly. And again, I always say this is really important. The idea of this is not to beat ourselves up. It's just to be real about where we're at and where maybe we know we can maybe grow in this. So the first part I'm going to encourage you to take away from this morning is to be intentional. As you go through this week, I'm going to encourage you, wake up every morning, have a conversation with God specifically about this. And for some of you, that might be scary. If you're a person who's been struggling to go and this is kind of a new challenge for you, that might be hard because you might be afraid to pray that because you're like, I don't know if I really want to go, right? And that's okay. You can wrestle with that. Talk to God about that. But what I'm going to encourage you to do this morning is talk to God about that. God, help me to go today. Go and be light to others. When I go to work, when I go to the store, when I go to school, when I go to my gym, wherever I go, help me to go and be light. Help me to see where there's darkness where I can be light. Help me to see people that are broken and need to hear your truth today. Show me the people that need to be loved and experience your love today. Ask Him for that. And then as you go through your day, be open to that. Continue to talk to him. Continue to be sensitive to God kind of pushing you in different directions to maybe help impact someone's life. And second, I'm going to encourage you to make sure you're relying on God. Make sure this does not become about you. It's about God. It's about God giving us the strength, the wisdom, the guidance. It's about people going and moving into a relationship with God. And that God ultimately does that work. And so we need to rely on him for that. Those are my two kind of things that I really want you guys, again, because application is most important. Right? The messages are great on Sunday. That's all good. But if we come and we just listen and we don't do, it's a waste of time. Go apply these things to our lives.